aviation security hassles. They're not just for the big guys anymore. A pilot is killed during practice for the Reno Air Races. And a Black Hawk is down in Alabama. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 13th, 2007. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security marked the sixth anniversary of the 9/11 attacks with a notice of proposed rulemaking. DHS wants to require more detailed information about arriving and departing private aircraft and persons on board within a time frame necessary to assess any risks that certain flights may pose to national security. DHS says it's working through U.S. Customs and Border Protection to identify and vet passengers and crew on inbound and outbound international private aircraft, generally defined as non-commercial flights. The proposed rule would require pilots of private aircraft to provide electronic manifest data for all on board to the U.S. government 1 hour prior to departure to and from the U.S. by filing manifest data online. Comments must be submitted within 60 days. The National Air Transportation Association has issued a statement suggesting the proposed rule may be reasonable for big flight departments. However, quote, "We are quite concerned with the effect of this rule on the smallest of operators. We will submit detailed comments to the CBP as to how such operations might be better accommodated in the regulations," unquote. For example, it's not clear how Homeland Security Czar Michael Chertoff would expect two guys at a remote Canadian campsite to find an internet connection an hour before departing in their J3 for the trip home to the U.S. The good old days of calling ahead by radio for customs clearance after takeoff would appear to be coming to an end. A California pilot practicing for Wednesday's start of the 2007 Reno National Championship Air Races was killed when his aircraft went down shortly after takeoff from Reno Stead Airport Tuesday evening. Witness Curtis Weinman told the Reno Gazette-Journal the Rose Peregrine RP-5 biplane looked to be in trouble almost immediately after takeoff. Quote, "At less than 100 feet, black smoke started coming out of the plane. I heard Mayday, Mayday, Mayday on the radio. He started diving, made an aggressive descent, and disappeared over the horizon." Mike Houghton, president and CEO of the Reno Air Races, reported the pilot, still unidentified, was dead on impact. The Rose Peregrine won the biplane class in 2003 and is based at Montgomery Field in San Diego. Owner David Rose is said not to have been at the controls. Military investigators are on the scene in northern Alabama, where a U.S. Army UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter hit a power line and crashed Tuesday in low visibility conditions. The Associated Press reports three aboard the Black Hawk were killed. The helicopter was operating on a training mission out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Names of the victims were not immediately released, but officials said those on board were members of the 101st Aviation Regiment, 4th Battalion. Jackson County Coroner David Jordan told the AP the helicopter struck a power line and crashed in a field near a house Tuesday at about 6:15 p.m. local time. He said fog in the area prevented a medevac helicopter from flying to the site, but stopped short of speculating that the fog may have caused the accident. The power line, connecting a generating plant to a power substation near Huntsville, was not carrying electricity at the time of the accident. When a Scandinavian Airlines Q400 suffered a collapsed right main gear leg on landing Sunday at Aalborg, Denmark, the airline noted it was the first such problem for both the airline and Bombardier. Just 3 days later, another Bombardier Q400, this one also operated by SAS, suffered another collapsed right main gear on landing at Vilnius, Lithuania. This time, Bombardier and Goodrich, which makes the gear, have recommended Q400s with over 10,000 landing gear cycles be grounded for inspection of the gear. About 60 planes are affected. 5 people reportedly were treated for minor injuries in Sunday's incident. In Wednesday's, there were no injuries reported among the 52 passengers and crew. The Bombardier Q400 is an updated de Havilland Canada DHC-8, also known as the Dash 8, a twin turboprop regional airliner. The original Dash 8 entered service in 1983. The Q in Q400 stands for quiet, noting the aircraft's active noise suppression measures. The Q400 entered service in 1996. Up next on ANN, Marion Blakey's segue to an industry position draws fire. Government to airlines, fix delays, or we will. and Boeing blames 787 delays on suppliers. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 13th, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Several government watchdog groups and politicians are taking Marion Blakey to task as she leaves the top post at the FAA to take a job as president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. Thursday is her last day with the FAA. Among the comments to USA Today was one from Melanie Sloan, Executive Director for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Quote, "It raises some pretty serious ethics questions," unquote. Scott Amey, General Counsel for the Project on Government Oversight, said Blakey's move fits the public's worst fear of government. Blakey defends her decision, saying she has had no direct involvement in any regulatory actions which affect AIA. She said she was, quote, "taken aback and a little appalled, frankly," unquote, at such criticism. One thing is clear, Blakey will receive a sizable pay increase in her new job. Federal executives at her level make an annual salary of $168,000. Federal tax forms show that John Douglas, Blakey's predecessor at the AIA, made over $531,000 in 2005. In one of her last official appearances as FAA administrator, Marion Blakey addressed the Aero Club of Washington on Tuesday. She took the opportunity to warn the airlines that if they don't schedule flights more realistically, they risk government intervention. Quote, "The airlines need to take a step back on scheduling practices that are at times out of line with reality. Passengers are growing weary of schedules that aren't worth the electrons they're printed on. Airline schedules have got to stop being the fodder for late-night monologues. And if the airlines don't address this voluntarily, don't be surprised when the government steps in," unquote. Air Transport Association President James May responded to USA Today that the FAA needs to make needed improvements to the air traffic control system before interfering with schedules. Quote, "I'm not saying we don't need to deal with scheduling, but it's only one of many different elements in a suite of solutions to the problem," unquote. Blakey also repeated the common position of the FAA and the airlines that user fees are needed to make business aircraft pay their fair share of air traffic control costs. It looks as if Boeing has regained a substantial year-to-date order lead over Airbus, according to sales numbers released by both plane makers. The Seattle Times reports Airbus listed 713 gross new orders for the year through the end of August, with a net total, that's adjusted for cancellations, of 656 jets. Over the same period, Boeing listed 773 gross and 763 net. By comparison, a month earlier, after an extremely strong showing by Airbus at the Paris Air Show, Boeing led by only 10 orders. Boeing is able to claim a significant lead in the number of orders for wide-body airliners, which typically carry selling prices over three times those of smaller single-aisle planes. Through August, Boeing claimed gross orders for 387 single-aisle planes, all 737s, and 386 wide-bodies. Airbus sold 415 A320 family narrow-bodies, but only 298 twin-aisle planes. And even better for Boeing, it appears the company may beat Airbus in airliner deliveries for the year for the first time since 2002. Since delivery is the time when the big checks get written, that's important to the bottom line. So far, there's no indication if announced delays in the first flight of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner are having any impact on sales. Boeing CEO Jim McNerney Tuesday blamed Alcoa and other suppliers for delays in the first flight of the composite-bodied Dreamliner. McNerney conceded many didn't anticipate the growth seen in the commercial airliner market over the past few years. He did imply, however, that many companies could have done a better job of ramping up their operations. Quote, "You know the root cause here. The fastener industry got consolidated post-9/11. The consolidators misjudged the demand swing back. A lot of us misjudged the demand swing back post-9/11, unquote. Alcoa is the main supplier of aluminum and titanium fasteners for the 787. Boeing hasn't publicly identified other companies, if any, supplying those parts for the program. Alcoa's Kevin Lowry says the company is doing all it can to catch up and accommodate demand from Boeing. Quote, "We are working with them to try to get them as many fasteners as we possibly can for this program. Every day we are getting them more and more. We are making great progress," unquote. McNerney reasserted that despite the delay in its first flight, the Dreamliner will be ready for its planned May 2008 entry into service with all Nippon Airways. Still ahead, shakeups continue at JetBlue. A Utah college has an expensive wildlife encounter on a runway, and a county sheriff gets a donated Cessna 210. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 is a normally aspirated four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises up to 190 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. With a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 350 is the plane that you deserve when you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or a turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 13, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. There are more changes at the top for beleaguered low-cost carrier JetBlue Airways as it struggles to rebound from a series of setbacks during the winter. JetBlue's stock has dropped more than 30% this year. The airline announced this week Russ Chu, who was brought on in March as chief operation officer, has been appointed to president to assist with CEO Dave Barger's vision and strategic plan. While the carrier has largely regained its favorable public perception since over 1,000 flights were canceled over a week-long period in February, overall business has not reached last year's levels. Industry analyst Ray Neidel of Calian Securities told the AP in a phone interview that Chu is a good operational guy. Analyst William Green with Morgan Stanley is not as bullish, noting the carrier faces intense competition against upstart Virgin America. But at least those late-night TV jokes have slacked off. A Utah Valley State College Diamond DA-42 Twin Star sustained $50,000 damage when it struck a deer while landing last month at Provo Municipal Airport. According to Flight Operations Manager Mario Marquitez, the accident occurred August 22nd about 1 a.m. local time during the course of nighttime flight training. The Provo Daily Herald reported that deer are finding food and shelter around nearby Utah Lake. Craig Clyde, a wildlife program manager at the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources, said, quote, "Wherever you provide habitat for an animal, they find that niche," unquote. Besides the $50,000 in repairs, the school expects to lose another $30,000 in rental fees while the plane is down for repairs, according to the paper. There were no human injuries reported. The deer, however, did not pull through. Not all the aviation news from BYU land was bad this week. A married couple who wish to remain anonymous have donated a Cessna 210 to the Utah County Sheriff's Office in Provo. The department had recently sold two of its more tired planes in the hope of getting some fresh wings. The couple made the donation of the 74 Cessna, which is said to be in good shape, on the condition that some of the money freed up be used to fund search and rescue. After it gets a new engine and interior, the department hopes to equip the 210 with airborne sonar, useful in searches in bodies of water. In the past, deputies have had to borrow that equipment from the state. And finally, NASA announced on Tuesday it will work with Russia's space program on an upcoming mission to study the biological effects of spaceflight on some newts, snails, and geckos. NASA says the Russian Photon M3 mission will launch from Kazakhstan this Friday, sending the critters into low Earth orbit for 12 days. Scientists will monitor the creatures' conditions before and after the mission to measure cell growth and tissue regeneration. Kenneth Souza, the project scientist at NASA Ames, explained the choice of the gecko and his friends. Quote, NASA's long-term goal is to use simple, easily maintained species to determine the biological responses to the rigors of spaceflight, including the virtual absence of gravity, unquote. The decision to use geckos for the mission was reportedly made after planners said the tasks required are so simple, even a caveman could do it. And there's great news! I just saved a bundle on my launch insurance by switching... Well, never mind. That's the latest from Aero News. Yeah, I made that last part up. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Paul Hinton, who is CEO of SaferJet, a company that's prepared extensively for training pilots who will fly the very light jets in our near future. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.